This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey, Mark, fake banter for the intro.
That's all I know how to do.
Great.
Good to be here.
Welcome to Tuesdays with
Stories.
Hit her in the face with a surfboard.
And then the duck fell out of his bag.
Surf's up. And she didn't even flush.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Mark Norman and Joe List.
Yeah! This is Tuesdays with Stories, everybody.
Yeah, that's terrible.
This is supposed to be cheesy. My radio is spitting at me. Holy cock, dick, jizz in my mouth, and call me Susan. Good to have you back, folks. Mark Norman here with my old pal,
Joe List, Joseph Albert.
You know him. You've seen him. You've heard him. And welcome back to the show, Tuesdays with Stories. Thanks, Tuesdays, for everything, coming out and saying hello. We love you. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, what is today? February 21st? So, I just like to get my bearings.
Black History Month is what it is, goddammit.
Oh, yeah, 1 week left.
Ooh, shortest week of the year. What a dick.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I'm saying what a dick, meaning good dicks on you guys. I got a haircut recently. How about this? This is a first for me, a big milestone for me. I go to this haircut place. It's
$40.
$40? Which is high, right?
That's absurd.
It's some like swanky Greenwich Village cum guzzling, hoity toity fuck up place. So I've been going there and they do a great cut. They get the neck shaved, they do the hot towel, they blow you. It's great.
$40 is crazy though.
I know. So I'm like, I've always been like, who am I? Fucking Berkowitz? I can't afford. He goes there too. I'm like, I can't afford this, you know, leather boot wearing suede jacket place. So I'm walking down Christopher Street. And I see $20 haircut, $19.99. I'm like, now that's more my anal. So I go in there, ding, ding, ding. The bell rings. It's a bunch of Russian weirdos. They're terrifying. They're all smoking inside and, you know, reading guns and ammo.
Sounds like my dentist office.
Yeah. So I go in and I go, hey, I'd like a little snipperoo. And the guy goes, what do you want? And I go, well, I like a little scissor action and buzz it around the ears and the back. And he goes, you got it. And I was like, all right, great. He snips me up. And I go, don't go too short. I just want to trim. And he goes, yeah, whatever, douche. And I go, all right. And he zips me all up and down. This is way, I hate it this short. Zips me all over the place.
Me too.
Clip, clip, clap, clap. I'm seeing hair fall in slow motion, hitting the floor on my curls, my beautiful black curls, just washing down to the earth and it, like a feather floating down. It kills me. And every snip is just killing me, but I can't say a thing.
It's the worst feeling in the world. You're victimized.
You're watching it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, God damn it, this piece of shit. And I'm like, not too short, not too short. He's like, yes, I got you, I got you. Fucking snipes me all the way. I got scalped by a Native American.
I thought he was Russian.
Yeah, well, I'm saying the scalp thing.
I see.
So I go, here's your money, you chooch, whatever. And I get out of there, and I go home, and I pout. I'm like, I'm looking in the mirror like, why'd you let him do that, you loser? You're such a fucking stool, pin cushion, bitch.
You loser, you freak.
Yeah. So I'm all pissed off. I'm all snippy and cunty. And the next day I go to the gym. Oh, and I have my gal over and she's like, what the hell happened to your hair? I was like, this fucking Russian mook. He was all over me. And she's like,
a lot of killers.
Yeah. She's like, you got shafted there. This looks like hell. I was like, I know. What can you do? She's like, look at the back's all long and the top's all short. And I'm like, I know. I'm aware.
The pizza's all cold and the wine is all warm.
Yes. What is a quince? So I'm like, whatever. So the next day I go to the gym and I wake up and the hair looks worse because I got bedhead and the back of it shooting out like a rooster tail. And the front's all matted down. I got a bald spot on the side.
That's not his fault.
Yeah, so I go to the gym, and I'm, like, pumping iron. Like, I think there's mirrors all over the gym. So I'm just looking at my dumb hair. I'm looking at my dumb scalp and my dumb face. And I go, you know what? I'm going back to that haircut place. I'm going back
the
in.
The Russians?
I'm doing a walk back.
We're going back to Russia.
I'm going back to USSR.
Cold War.
Uh-huh. So the whole walk there, I'm in my gym outfit, I'm sweaty, and I'm like, fuck it. I got the hot breath going through the air, I got a coat on, I'm like, fuck it, because everything's in every fiber of my being saying, hey, don't go back in. Who do you think you are? You think it's some kind of walk back in guy? You're not the walk back in guy. You're a Normand. Normans cower. They squeal. They run home with their dick between their ass cheeks. That's what you do.
Yeah, they do.
But I go, no, I'm fighting back. So I kick that door open, ding, ding, ding. And the guy goes, you again? And I go, yeah, you butchered me, you Ruski. And he goes, what are you talking about? Looks good. And I go, your mom looks good. Sit down. We're cutting hair. So he goes, all right. He cuts my hair. That was it.
It looks okay.
And it looks way better.
How did he fix it if it was too short? I don't get it.
Because the back, I had like a fucking Kanicki, you know, like the ducktail back here.
Well, that's good. He's probably a hockey guy. He wanted that hockey flow mullet situation.
I don't know. I think he's an illegal, is what he is.
Well, it's, you know, yuppity boop bops. Yeah. They're all illegals now under this administration.
Well, I say we have a Russian ban. How do you like that?
We can't. We're in cahoots.
Oh, boy. Cahoots was this guy's name.
I think that's a Russian word.
Colonel Cahoots.
I'm getting a random boner. What's going on there, do you think?
I think it's my new haircut.
I think sometimes you ever just not jerk off enough and all of a sudden you're getting a hard-on
totally.
On Wednesday?
I get that on every flight, train, auto, bus, and
yes.
Rickshaw.
What is it about movement that all of a sudden gets your dick hard? I had a boner. I was the Cal Ripken of morning boners in school. Every bus ride.
What's that mean? They came fast?
Every day, baby.
Uh-huh.
Out there. 2,130 games in a row.
I'm picturing a little hat on your dick.
No hat.
Oh, you know, because Cal Ripken.
Oh, I see. A cap.
A cap. Dick cap.
Dick cap.
That
sounds like an old basketball coach.
I was going to say, it sounds like an announcer. This is Dick Cap here with the news.
Hi, I'm Dick Cap. Welcome to the sunny Philadelphia. It was a game between the Phillies and the dog shits.
Woo. The dog shits. I should have never bet on them. Worst money I ever spent.
Keep going. I had a swallow.
Oh, sorry. I had a swallow of my own jizz. So, yeah. So I got.
I remember that night.
I went back in it. You know, it's not so bad. They don't give a shit. Anytime I become a burden of any kind, I just shut down. I hate myself. My manager's like, hey, you need a recommendation from this comic. I'm not going to say who. Just call her up and get it. I'm like, I can't do it. The idea of her sitting down and typing on my behalf, I can't.
It's too much.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's a low, I don't know, is that low self-esteem? Is that insecurity? Is that homophobia? What is that?
We were just talking about this. I was at the sneaker store yesterday. I got these new kicks right here.
Wow, you went blue, huh?
I blew before. I got blue multiple times.
Blue balls.
Like blue. Oh, I got blue balls, evidently. But I went to the sneaker store, and I had a similar thing where the guy was telling me, I'm an 11 and a half. He's like, you need a big 11 and a half. And I was like, I've been wearing a 10 and a half my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a running sneaker store because I have the plantar fast. And so I try to go to like this hip-hop sneaker store over here around the corner.
Uh-huh.
It's like a special store, and they have special guys. And I'm like, my mind is going, well, he knows. He's the running expert. He's the sneaker guy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's my body.
Right.
I've been wearing a 10 and a half since 1988.
Right.
So I finally went with the 10 and a half, and I feel great. I'm so glad I didn't buy the Jumbo Dumbo shoes.
Yeah, who is this guy?
I don't know. He's some running guy. There's a really good guy that I trust and love, and he was there. It was like the Enzo haircut episode.
Ah.
He was there, but then this other guy snatched me up because he was talking to some bimbo over there.
That's not an Enzo.
So I got stuck with this. No way my Gino did that. So I got stuck with a, you know, a douche that was trying to tell me I'm a bigger foot than I have.
Yeah, what a nut.
It was very odd.
How about this? You ever get like a wild hair up your twat? I was walking down 72nd Street and there's a shoe store called Tanny.
Oh, I know that place.
T-A-N-I?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some nice quality shit in there. And I walk by and it says 40% off. Big banner. I go, 40% off? That's quite a knockoff. So I go in the place, ding, ding, ding. And, you know, the Puerto Rican gal's like, what you want, baby? And I was like, I'd like to try on a boot. I've always wanted a boot. Like a big boot.
Like a beetle boot?
Beetle boot.
Beetle boots.
That's on the, is that the one of the comic strips? That's Beetle Bailey.
Beetle Bailey? Who's Beetle Bailey?
He's one of the strips.
What? I never heard
Beetle
of that
Bailey.
Guy. You're thinking of Ben Bailey.
No, I know him.
Beetle boots, that's the style the Beatles wore. Pointy boots.
No, I don't want a point. I'm talking like a man boot, like a almost a construction boot.
Like a Timberland.
Yeah, but brown, like kind of nicer. I don't want that yellow shit that they wear.
Who's they?
The construction workers.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Dude, look at this. I got a big heart on. Is this on camera?
Jesus, that ain't bad.
I got a big denim cock over here.
You got a parking cone in your pants there. So I go in there. You know, like a real nice boot, like a Red Wing.
Yeah.
You know, a Red Wing.
Detroit.
You got a Red Wing on your pants.
I'm going to send this picture to Sarah.
Jesus.
Try to get her, you know, hot and bothered.
Tag me, will you?
Tag me. Look at this thing. I'm going to post this on the Instagram. When this episode comes out, tweet me. I'll tweet you a private picture of my denim cock here.
Oh, boy, that's going to go by. Just like your dick.
Oh, it's virus.
All right, so I go into Tanny. You got a big Tanny going right now. So I go to Tanny. I go, hey, I've always wanted a boot. And these boots are like $400, $300. So
yeah.
I'm looking under the boot. I pick up the boot under it. It's like big red slash. Hey, $150, $149.
A red slash?
What do you mean?
I know about that. A pussy.
Oh.
A big red slash.
A pussy.
A big red slash. That's called a vag where I come from.
This is Dick Cap reporting.
Dick.
Red slash. So I go in. These are some swell boots. These are like swanky leather boots that go way up the ankle with a big lace, you know. And I go, wow, I put them on. I'm like, these look like fucking great boots. I look like a man in these boots.
Man boots.
So they don't look like me. Immediately, I'm like, this is not for me. But I've already been, I've gotten the lady to go downstairs 8 times. I've been cracking jokes. I'm killing in the store with all the women. I'm like, look at these. Do you think this is me? I'm a pussy. I can't wear them. They're like, ah. And so big jokes. And then this hot mom comes in. I go, lady, let me ask you, what do you think of these boots? And I'm wearing one boot on my right foot. And then I've got like a work boot on my left and a swanky boot on my right. And this lady goes, get the swanky one. I'm like, I'm not a swanky guy. She's like, I know, I'm helping you out. And she's like, kind of like this tough Jewish broad. She's kind of cunty. And she's like, I'm going to be honest with you. You want to get laid? Wear those. And then she walked out. And I was like, damn. It was like a mic drop.
Wow.
And like all the girls in the store went, damn. Oh, shit. And I was like, all right. I guess I'm getting the swanky one. And I look in the mirror one last time. And I'm like, this isn't me. This is not me at all. It's just a big old boot coming off of these ugly jeans and a dumb T-shirt I'm wearing. So I go, let me ask my girlfriend. And they go, really? And I go, yeah, she lives across the street. And they're like, do you want me to hold these for her? I'm like, yeah, hold them. And I just ran out.
Oh, boy, now you can never go back to 72nd Street.
I know. I was in there for like 45 minutes with these people.
Oh, geez. When the shoe people, they make a commission, it gets serious. When I bought those Letterman kicks, we went to Bloomingdale's. We talked for 25 minutes. And then Hamilton and Gullman, they were like, don't rush into anything. It's your foot. It's your big day. And we left, and they were pissed. The guy was, like, openly upset.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he thought he had, like, a $900 commission because we were looking at, you know, silver-bottom shoes.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, we're out. And the guy was like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh.
I made him Russian just because we're about to join the Russian Union.
Well, this is anti-Russia day, apparently. I talked about that time, I think I talked about on the pod, about the Asian Jack.
Asian Jack.
Hong Kong Jack, they call him.
Oh, the suit guy?
Yes.
I remember the Asian Jack suit guy.
I mean, I wasted an hour of that guy's time. He had a fake suit on me with 19 check marks with a chalk thing and like all this paper clips and bobby pins and safety clips. And I just go, and he goes, okay. He does an old school calculator, rings it back. That'll be 378. And I go, I got a quiche in the oven. I ran out of there.
Oh, boy.
He was furious.
Well, what can you do? I like those old New York shops. I just dropped off some frame stuff. I bought a poster in Austin. Yo, you're with you.
Oh, that's a great poster.
Yeah, I dropped that off, and I dropped off my Obama Rolling Stone cover. That's right. And
remember that poster? It had a big smudge on it. And we go, hey, what's up with this? She goes, it's part of the art.
Yeah, that really bothered me because I was trying to wipe it off again. And the guy was like, smudge, smudge. He's Asian. He can barely speak English, but I love him. He lights up like a Christmas tree, big smile. And he pulls out the old measuring tape. I get stuff framed. I'm addicted to it.
Yes.
Some of these people that get tattoos because they like the act of getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
He measures it, and he has these little sack weights. They're like little rosin bags. And he throws them on the corners of the poster to lay it out.
Oh.
And he measures it, and he holds the little mat up to it. He's like, green, glue, blee, blue. And I just go, whatever you think. You're the guy. And he has all these fake frames, just like the little corner piece.
Yes.
And he'll hold it with the mat, and he goes, like, you like this? I like this. And I get a special feeling. I get like a hard on. I feel
another
loose
one
and soft. I got two at the same time. And I just feel good watching them. And I got to go pick them up soon. I got a new poster and a nice Rolling Stone. I like to frame these old Rolling Stones. I got the Philip Seymour Hoffman. I got a Louis C.K. I got two Dave Lettermans.
Do you get the whole mag or just the cover?
I put the whole mag right in there.
I like that.
Yeah, that way you can crack it open and read it. Who knows?
I like that look in an apartment of where it's like just like thousands of pictures and posters and framed all crammed up close to each other.
It's all I've ever wanted.
It's a good look.
Yeah, I like the idea of your whole life just presented in the
wall. Yes, and people can come over and just sit on stare at that wall for 20 minutes like, oh, look at that. Oh, there's you with that guy. You went to Prague. Oh, you were in this guy. Bah, bah, bah. Is that the garden? Is that Louis? You know, I love that.
It's very fun. I love it.
You can do a whole tour. You go, well, this is me with my anal, and this is me with my dad's anal. You know, it's fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell this story. Speaking of hair, I got a hair story.
Ah, good play.
Sometimes I got to take a deep breath in the middle of these podcasts. We're really running and gunning here. And for the folks at home, we're doing back-to-back episodes. I got a big, giant block in my tooth still, on
and
my face.
And a block in your pants.
I do. I sent it to Sarah. She wrote, is that a comfort boner? She knows about the comfort boner.
What's that?
Well, you're very comfortable. You get a boner.
Ah. Wow, she knows her her man.
I'm writing it's a Sarah boner.
Ooh. This is what you call dirty talk, folks.
That's whatever. Anyways, I'm gay. Amber alert. Amber alert. Heads up.
Is it the Staten Island thing?
It's another Staten Island. They're still looking for this dame. I got it earlier. Now again, Black Kia Sorento.
Uh-huh.
If you're seeing it now, though, it's 2 weeks later. This girl is well dead.
Yeah, that's true. She's already been raped and buried in a shallow grave.
It might be a deep grave. You never know.
Eh, Staten Island.
Oh, boy. We shouldn't be making jokes like this. What if it turns out this girl's, you know, raped and murdered and buried, and we're saying this? This could be incriminating.
Yeah, but I also think a pretty impressive guess.
That's true. That's true, Marty. All right, let's get down to business. It's story time. I got myself a story. So Saturday night, I'm at the Comedy Cellar, of course. We talked about it. I got my voice complimented by Esty. Hanging out, and Esty always wants to break down your relationship, because I set a wedding date. I have a wedding date.
She's obsessed with relationships.
Yes. I got myself a wedding date. August. You got to be there, right?
August 9th.
19th.
19th. Shit.
Email the agent and take it off, block it off. We're going to have a fun time. People flying in from all over.
Woo-wee. You got some, you got a pretty good guest list?
Good guest list. I mean, my God, we got DePaulo, we got Bobby Kelly, we got Tommy Jonigan, we got, who knows?
Quinn?
Derek Walsh, we got a Quinn coming.
Woo!
We'll have a Louis invite. I don't know if he'll make the trip or not, plenty of comics to go around, and there'll be some dames there. I don't know what the date policy is going to be, by the way. Those dates are pretty expensive. So, yeah, it's going to be one hell of a wedding there.
Can't wait for the wedding.
That's going to be you're going to have to because it's not till August. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. Don't say where it is because I don't want the fans showing up and throwing egg cartons at me.
August 9th.
August 9th. Be there or be gay. But I think it's going to be a hell of a time. It's going to be hot, though.
Yeah, hot time. Summer in the city.
Pack of my neck getting dirt and gritty. But I don't know about the date situation. But maybe she is in the room, then she comes down to dance.
She won't eat.
I think she's going to have to eat something.
I'll tell you, I got a pocket full of pellets I give her. I just throw them in her mouth like a seal.
What is she, a rabbit?
She shits like one.
All right. Cut that out.
No, it's fine.
I'm joking, of course. Right. Who knows? I mean, this is a long way away, so you never know who will be where.
Yeah.
And this is 7 months away. I mean, you confidence in the 7-month return?
Well, they got the 7-month itch.
Great movie.
Yeah.
So anyways, I got a story. So Saturday night, I'm at the Comedy Cellar celebrating setting a date and everything, which is exciting. I called up while I was in New Orleans. I set up the date. Got this contract. So the wedding, you have contracts.
Ooh, I don't like all
crazy?
That. It's business.
Well, that's for the venue. You got to sign
the
venue.
You got to
put down a deposit. You got to dance. And they block it all off. There's a half hour for a ceremony, an hour for drinks, 10 minutes for dinner, and the whole thing.
I think that's pretty badass, though, the whole just doing it at the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, we don't need any.
The way to do it.
Come on, with the god. What are you kidding?
I know, these idiots with the god.
It's a little silly.
Grow up!
All right, so... Woo-wee! Boy, this doing two episodes in a row, it's an effort.
It's loopy. I'm loopy.
I feel goopy.
I'm whoopy.
I'm even poopy.
I love Snoopy.
I took a dump right in my eye. Pants.
Come again.
You ever confuse your pants with your eye?
Not tonight.
I do when I do back-to-back episodes. 40 more minutes? You got to be shitting me.
Oh, we got plenty of... I want to hear about Nola.
All right, I got to get into this first story.
Please.
We're at the Comedy Cellar, Saturday night, hot night. And you know Linda, the waitress, Linda.
No, I love Linda.
I love Linda so much. She is a... First of all, she's a beautiful woman.
Beautiful dame and a breath of fresh anal.
Yeah, she's just great and a big fan.
Big fat tits and great ass. Just a beautiful eyes. Just a hot number.
She's always been... So sweet to me, so kind. Anyway, so she watches my set. She sits in the doorway, and I'm really ripping it. It's Saturday night. There's some Tuesdays there, and I'm really having a time of it, having a great set. Feel great. I did the Fat Black earlier, which is not great.
No, it's not, but it's a good little warm-up.
Yeah, it's a good place for a podcast, April 4th, live Woo! Tuesdays with stories, dressed nice and come. So I'm there early. I'm like, oh, this is tough sledding. Then I do the Cellar, and it's just hot. It's on fire. It's Saturday night. And Linda's in the doorway, and she's just a beauty, and she's laughing, and she's just lighting up the room. And
she's a ray of light.
We have that connection, and I just love it, you know? So then she's got a big afro.
Yeah,
she's
natural.
She's an African-American lady with a big afro, and her hair gets stuck in the little remote that controls the lights.
Come again?
And so I see her move. She's just in the shadow because she's in she's backlit. So it's just a shadow.
Uh-huh.
But I can see her. She moves, and I just see a cord from the wall to her head. And she's talking to Will. She doesn't realize yet. So then she literally turns back to the doorman and Val to say, boy, Joe's great. And as she turns, it pulls the cord, which is attached to her fro, and just shoots up the lights.
What?
The house lights just go whoop. And every light in the Cellar just blasts on in the middle of my set.
Oh, my God.
And I go, what the, can I get off stage? Am I getting lit? What's going on here?
You're being lit, all right.
And I look, and she's like, ah! She's got a cord in her hair. They're trying to, like, cut it out. It's like gum in the hair.
Yes.
And Will and Val and Linda, they're all trying to pull it out. And as they're doing it, the lights are going up and down.
Oh, my God. This is out of a Buster Keaton.
It's crazy. It's like a crazy, well, they wouldn't let a black in his movies.
That's true, yeah.
But the lights are going, it would have been a blackface situation. But anyways, the lights are going up and down, stroby, and my set's coming apart, and everyone's trying to look, and they're trying to be respectful. They're like, "It's you got to pull it out this way. No, it's this way. It's like they're defusing a bomb."
Yeah.
And they thought they were going to cut it out, but eventually they kind of pulled it out.
Wow.
The afro is so cool and sexy, but it really can giveth and taketh away.
Well, it's like a big tree walking around. It's a bush. You can get all kinds of shit in a shrub.
It's a bushel shrub.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it ended up going down, but it was quite an event. It was like a crazy lights up, lights down, and the end of my set, and she was so embarrassed. She was so sweet, but I was like, don't worry about it. I loved it. It was hilarious.
It's a bush. Reggie Bush.
Ah, that's the best college football player I ever saw.
Oh, really?
Not very good NFL player.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a whatever NFL player.
I think he played for New Orleans.
He did. I think he might have won a Super Bowl with New Orleans.
He might have. 2005. No.
That was 2009. I think it was 2006. Six or seven, maybe.
I think it was 9.
2007 was the Giants, of course. Maybe it was 2009.
I think it was 9 because I was living in Manhattan.
Maybe that was 09.
What do you got, Shoeshine?
Trying to think. Let's see. 07 was the Giants over the Patriots there.
I'm going to say 9 or 10. That's my guess. Shellfish?
Was it 09 season or 9. January of 09?
2009.
Can we get a reading on that? Because the Super Bowl is tricky.
February 7th, 2010.
Oh, that's 2010. Okay.
09 season. Yeah.
Got it. All right. Wow, so she got a switch in her swatch.
But yeah, but anyways, that was fine. I mean, that's the whole story. Just that little...
But the light's going up, that's a set fucker-upper. You're done after that.
Oh, of course. It's amazing how sensitive comedy is. Any change in lighting will really fuck you.
It's like a girl in her period.
I don't know if I see that completely, what you mean there.
The sensitive.
Ah, okay. That's a bummer, those periods, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be tough. The emotions are wishy-washy and the hormone and the whores.
Yeah, I feel for you, ladies. I'm really sorry that blood fires. And it's like globules, too. It's like little bubbles and weird eggs and paintballs.
Uterine lining.
Yeah, there's lining involved.
Yeah.
And they get emotional. I think they get diarrhea-y, and the cramps seem horrible.
Yeah.
It's like a... Your whole life. I mean, just...
I know.
What a
brutal
nightmare.
And then... They put the heating pad. My ex used to put a heating pad on her stomach because her cramps were that bad.
You know, what's a weird situation is that I've read many times that orgasms actually help relieve the pain. But when you try to help, being like, what you need is an orgasm, you look like an asshole.
Right.
It looks like you're trying to be like, well, your stomach hurts, your pussy's bleeding, and you're emotional. Why don't you fuck me?
Right.
But really, it's like a Snapple fact that helps the coming.
Oh,
so I'm
really?
Like, why don't we masturbate together?
Mm.
She's like, how can you think of that at a time like that? This is not my girlfriend, but women are like, I can't. How can you think of that at a time like this? And I'm like, well, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to vibrate that pussy into pure joy.
You know what you got
to
do is carry around the actual Snapple cap and be like, look, I'm telling you, read that.
Well, here's the thing between you and me. That wasn't actually a Snapple fact. It's too dirty to be a Snapple fact.
Oh, I guess that would change the juice.
Maybe it's a WTF fact.
Aha! Those guys are all over it. I just realized hormone sounds like a hormone.
A whore-moaning.
Yeah, I never put that together.
Like,
I don't even know if whores do moan, because they've been around the ringer so many times.
No, I think they moan.
Maybe it's a fake moan.
What's a whore nowadays? Is that somebody that...
A prostitute.
Sex for money? Okay, yeah, because if you call a person, a promiscuous person, a whore, I think you're a bad person.
Right. Interesting how in comedy, you start making money, it's a good thing. With sex, you start making money, it's a bad thing.
Mmm, that is interesting.
Yeah, it's you're a professional comedian and a professional fucker, but a professional fucker is looked down upon.
Very frowned on. Well, sometimes comedians are frowned upon, too, these days.
No, I think we're doing better than ever.
Yeah, but you get a lot of backlash.
Yeah, there's no front lash.
Well, I think that, is backlash, does that go into, is that from slavery?
Ooh,
is that what backlash is about? I mean, that feels inappropriate. We got to change that if that's the truth.
Maybe it's backslash. That's the typing.
No, a backlash. I mean, that sounds like an old slavery reference, which is, I might have just discovered a new offensive term.
Well, don't let it out there because we don't need another one.
This should be backlash on backlash.
Aha! Uh-huh.
I mean, I might be like a forefronter of the new social justice warrior.
Yeah, well...
We shouldn't be saying backlash. This harpens back to a time of slaves running away and getting backlashes.
Well, is that what it... Let's see if that... Maybe it's from, you know, the Irish getting enslaved, so you never know.
I know. I don't know how many lashes they were getting.
Yeah, I think they were cooperating.
I feel like that Irish slavery thing, it's... I've seen some... I didn't read the articles, but I think that's like a new thing of like, fuck you, people that claim the Irish, yada, yada.
I think the Jews were in there as well.
Yeah, I think they built the pyramids or something, didn't
they? That's
the
plan, but I don't see them as much of builders.
That's the plan. Jews are builders. They built the bank system.
Oh, I'm talking about, you know, carpentry.
Pretty famous Jewish carpenter out there.
Well, there's one, but that's why he's famous.
They killed him.
Yeah, they got him. Did he build the cross that they fucked him up on?
I'm not sure.
You know what else is weird? Crucifixion was like a popular thing. They did it all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah, it wasn't just him. Everybody got crucified. It was normal.
Oh, wow. Those are hard times.
Yeah.
I don't think I would enjoy that.
That's what I'm saying, folks. You got it pretty good now.
Just the crown of thorns itself seems like the worst thing I could ever experience.
That is tough. I've had a bad fitted cap before.
I got one in my mouth right now.
Oh, that's right.
It's fucking killing me. I got to be honest. I'm trying to really be a trooper here, but it's a nightmare.
I know. It's got to be rough. Dick Cap reporting.
All right, let's get back to the business. What do you got? You got a story? You got a thing to tell me? What happened?
No, I'm waiting to hear about NOLA is what I'm waiting for.
Well, hold on. I dropped my thing here. Well, NOLA, I mean, I'll get into NOLA, but we're going to have to really stretch here.
Well, I got 13 minutes on Dick Cap, so we'll be all right. I got a lot here.
My mouth hurts so fucking bad.
I want to hear about backlash, though.
They gave me Tylenol, codeine. I need the hard stuff. I need a Vicodin. I know it's a sobriety, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But this is aching.
Yeah, you need some, what do you call that? Morphine.
Morphine. I love that. I'd like to shoot morphine right in my nostril right now.
Yeah, hormone.
Shelb, do you find anything about backlash?
Wow. No.
I think I got something here.
Interesting.
If I wrote a piece on Huffington Post, I'd be a hero.
Well... You got to change your name to like Darnell Watley or something and say you're a fucking expert at what's that black university?
Grambling State?
No. Howard?
Howard!
Yes.
Howard's big, yes.
Howard Stern. That's a big university. The Duck.
He went to BU.
That's right.
You know, he offered to redo the whole communication system at BU if they named it after him, and they said no.
What?
He was going to pay for it.
Those are idiots.
He's like, I'll do the whole thing. We'll have state-of-the-art, yada, yada. You just got to name it the Howard Stern Communications Center. And they were like, thanks anyways.
Wow, he's a legend. What are they, idiots?
But he said all those controversial things.
I know, but he's got a black newswoman.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
That's true, Marty.
Ooh, what do you got, Shellfish?
It's kind of the opposite of what you said. It came to like be popular in the 50s when they said that white racists had a backlash against black civil rights advances.
Uh-huh.
That's when it got popular.
Right, but the term is, it's supposed to be a play on words or something?
It started in 1815, meaning a recoil between parts of a machine.
Interesting.
Well, that's not racial. But, I mean, if you want to throw on a dashiki and get cooking, I bet you got something here.
What's a dashiki?
That's that African garb. You know what a dashiki is.
I don't.
You've seen them. They're out there.
I'm sure I've seen them.
Pull up a dashiki for the man.
I've seen it all.
Yeah.
I mean, you really see it all in the city.
I've got a dashiki. I wear it to sleep in.
Speaking of cities, I put it on last night and I slept in it. Speaking of cities that you see it all, that New Orleans has got some real stank on it.
Oh, what are you kidding?
My God.
City's got AIDS all over it.
So I fly into New Orleans commercial.
Louis Armstrong Airport.
Yes.
MSY.
They love Louis Armstrong there. Oh, there's a dashiki. Oh, wow.
Oh, you got a TV here?
That's sexy.
You've seen those, right?
Yeah, that's John Legend there. It's a weird tattoo.
On the left?
At Dashiki Pride is tattooed on his arm.
Oh, wow, we have the same tattoo.
Wow, she's got boots. I like those boots.
I almost bought those boots.
Wow, she's sexy.
Yeah, she's all right.
All right, we got to think. This is no good. These podcasts where they just look at videos make me crazy.
Well, I think she got a light switch stuck in her hair.
You ever listen to a podcast? They start looking at videos. You're like, I don't see the video. This sucks.
Yeah, that I know who you're talking about.
I didn't say nothing.
I didn't say you did.
My face hurts so bad. I want to kill myself. I really do. I want to take a gun, put it in my mouth, and blow the back of my head off.
You don't want to do that. You got gigs.
I got a few gigs.
You're finally successful. Enjoy it.
Yeah, just briefly, though. I feel like look at my schedule. It's pretty light.
Oh, yeah?
After
April.
Well, you've
been canceling gigs.
I was canceling. Now they all hate me. It's a tough business.
It's tough. You're up, you're down.
My tooth hurts. All right. So anyways, I go to New Orleans, I fly in there, and I just fall in love with all the places. I get in there, we're staying at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Oh, that's a
Waldorf
beauty.
Astoria.
Right off Root Canal.
Joint. Yeah, right off of Root Canal Lane. And it's a seedy, weird city. Like, a lot of it's ugly. Like, Canal Street is gross.
It used to be beautiful, elegant street lights with the streetcar going down, and, like, all these beautiful stores, and now it's just like, you know, urban footwear and Popeyes and, you know, dickless hair supply. You know, it sucks now. It used to be this beautiful, like, Broadway in the 50s.
Yeah, it's
theaters and everything. Now it's just shit. It's like all these shitty fashion stores.
And a lot of empty, like, bombed out places.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of empty storefronts and stuff. I read a lot about the city, quite a bit.
Oh, did you?
Katrina and stuff. And it used to be like such a wild majority black, but since Katrina, they all moved to Houston and Chicago, never came back.
They bust them all out.
And then the rents went low, and then the whites came in and took it.
It was definitely a chocolate city when I lived there as a youth, and it was, you know, a lot of yelling, a lot of like, hey, what are you doing here, whitey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now, yeah, after Katrina, and they bombed out all the projects, too, which were, the projects were a huge part of New Orleans, and so now they're gone.
Mm. Well, there's still a lot of, you know, grit.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of like, what are you doing, you motherfucker? There's some frightening street folk there.
You can't make eye contact in that town.
No, it's a little wild. So anyways, I went out immediately. I get to the hotel. It's a beautiful hotel. They upgraded me to a suite. I think because I had to pay for a commercial flight. I missed the private jet.
Uh-huh.
And I was only there for 2 days. They were all there for four. And so they gave me a little hookup. They gave me a little mini suite, they called it. But it's two rooms divided, which was nice.
Nice.
I had a bedroom and a thing.
Sounds like an old hooker in the Wild West. This is mini suite.
It does. Dick Cap and mini suite.
Yeah.
Coming at you. So I go in. I went for a walk. I walked down. And I like to go in with no real map. I like to just stroll the city. That's what I kept doing in Europe. It was really fun. So I get into the old French Quarter.
Yeah, you're right across the street.
And that's a beautiful, beautiful place. Bourbon Street, I hated. I first started walking. I walked down. Here's my first impression. I walked down Canal, and it's just gross and unpleasant.
Yeah.
Then I go down Bourbon, and it's just like all these like touristy, like, hey, come and buy two for one, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right,
and I was
right.
like, I hate it here.
Big-ass beers.
Yeah, I hated it. And then I took a couple lefts and rights and started weaving in, and then I found a band in the street on I forget what street it was, but I posted a picture.
Dolphin?
Full band playing. I don't know what it was.
Toulouse? Royal?
Maybe it was Royal. I think it was Royal. And they were great. I just sat there for about 45 minutes, watched and danced and videoed. I started going all through those streets, the non-Bourbon Street streets.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, this is great. I love it here. This is beautiful. I went down to that cathedral there, the Saint Suck My Dicks.
But how about the architect, the fucking balconies, the buildings, the doors, everything, the stoops?
That's
all
what
beautiful.
I'm saying. It's unbelievable. And this is what I thought was interesting, too, that I was blown away by. it's much more Spanish than French. You have this idea of France, but it was French for like 4 years and Spanish for like 200 years.
Right, right, right.
All the architecture is Spanish, not French.
Right.
That blew my mind because I just know French Quarter and, you know, Normand and...
New Orleans. It's all French. Yeah, it's all French. And then the Spanish came in.
But I think the Spanish were there first for much longer.
Spanish Inquisition.
Then it was French briefly. Then it was Spanish again. Then it was, you know, Americano.
Well, did you hit that Cabildo and the Jackson Square?
I went to Jackson Square, and I went to the Café des Mondes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the cathedral. I went in and meditated there for a while. That was spectacular. The whole square was tremendous. I went over to Louis Armstrong Park. Then I crossed over to Frenchman. Some guy told me to go to that neighborhood there.
Yeah.
That record store. Great record store. I chatted with a lady. I bought a bunch of... big local jazz. If I get into a record store, you can really just start selling me.
Yeah.
I was like, what's some of the local business? She's like, take this and that. And then this is this flies up the show. I just bought it all. I spent like $300 in there.
Jesus.
It was a bad scene, but I've been listening to it on my old Victrola and loving it.
Oh, that's good.
And,
you get any Rebirth Brass Band, or what are we talking?
I got some kooky stuff, the Lonesome Doves and the something-somethings and a bunch of crazy shit. And a lot of music. Then we went down to the Garden District.
Nice.
Walked around down there and went and saw the plantation homes and all that shit. And walked up Magazine Street a bunch.
Yes,
and,
yes. Voted top 10 streets in America, folks.
Yeah, it was quite lovely. And then at nighttime, I retreated. I don't want anything to do with that city at night. I got to be honest.
Well, the French Quarter is like being in Midtown at night. I mean, you go to the Garden District or St. Charles or... you know, fucking the lakefront area, or what's that? The City Park. City Park area is great. Right down Esplanade Avenue, Treme, all that is nice. But yeah, the Quarter's insane.
But yeah, it was, yeah, because when you have like these crazy local, like, where'd you get your shoes?
Yeah,
right. And they follow you. They're pretty aggressive there.
Yes, yes.
And then on top of that, you got these crazy fucking white businessmen douches that got away from their wives to cheat on them and are drinking for 12 hours. And they're like, hey, bro, bah.
Right.
It's like two groups of people I don't want to be around.
Oh, yeah. It's a mess.
I got to tell you, I spent a lot of money just on these musicians. Every musician I saw, I'd sit and watch. And I can't watch a street musician or performer without giving them some money. I feel bad.
You can't.
Especially when you're
that.
Videotaping them and stuff. But I love the spirit, and it's the city that feels the most like a foreign country to
yes,
me.
Yes, completely.
It feels like I'm in another country, and it's very few cities have actual culture.
Yes.
There's like a jazz culture, the food, and all that stuff.
Yeah. People compare New Orleans to Vegas, which I'm like, what are you, fucking gay? That's ridiculous.
Well, Bourbon Street, I mean, you just said it yourself, is pretty Vegas-y.
But like, at least New Orleans is like old-looking with the old architecture, the old houses, the row house, the windows up there. I mean, Vegas has none of that. It's just, you know, pink berry and anal.
Yeah, it's a little, yeah, I get it. But Bourbon Street, there's a whole section where you're like, it does feel like Vegas to me, where you're walking. It feels like the Strip.
Right.
Because it's just people trying to hawk you in there. But then a block away, two blocks away, is pretty authentic and beautiful and fun, but I loved it. Now to the show
yes.
at the Mahalia Jackson Theater, which is not a very beautiful theater.
It's not big. It's old and run down.
Yeah, it's not a great place.
That's a small room for him. I'm surprised he didn't go. That's only like 1,200 seats or something.
No, it's bigger than that. I think it's 24 or something like that.
Oh,
22,
all right.
And he did two of them. But I think New Orleans is a tough place to sell tickets.
It is. It's not a comedy town.
Yeah, someone was telling me that your pal started off at the arena and I think downgraded.
Exactly.
So I think that they're not buying tickets there.
No, they don't want to sit and watch. They want to get out there and yuck it up.
Yeah, evidently. And I think also, I mean, I could be wrong about this, but a lot of the suburbs of New Orleans is like fucking swamp people.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that, too.
I think New Orleans isn't a huge city, and then shortly outside of there, there's people be like, I ain't going to see no Louis C.K.
Yeah, well, I think...
Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're completely right, and it's embarrassing, but it's like Texas, you know? You go right outside of Austin, you're holding a gun, and you got your foot on a gay guy's throat.
Right.
You know, but New Orleans, I told you, when Schumer did it for New Year's, she's doing a gun joke, and the guy stood up and goes... Fuck you, bitch! And then kicked the side door open and ran out the theater.
Yeah, it's a wild play. I think part of it because they're drinking all day.
They're drinking all day, and they got that redneck in them.
Yes.
You know, it's buried down in the loins.
So we're doing the show night two. Night one is great show, fun. Had a Tuesday out there, Tuesday. shouting out. That was fun.
Oh, and, nice. I had a lot of people hitting me up. You going to be down in New Orleans, too? What's Joe doing? Does Joe need a ride? Is he gay?
Yeah, I got tweets to come to the open mics or whatever, but I was exhausted. I had a 6 a.m. flight and was up late. So and then Louis had his girl there, so we didn't really go out after. And I was just fucking exhausted. But anyways, so night two, we're back at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. Mahalia Jackson Theater. And, of course, it's sold out. It's exciting. And we're doing the show. And now I do my set. And he mixed it up. He had me go first, which was kind of it's tougher.
Interesting.
You know? Like, yeah, geez.
How'd that happen?
I think he was just like, let's get crazy. Mackie, you close it. And so I had to go first on that one. Then I'm just sitting back there. And the Louis, I've seen the show a million zillion times. So now it's just on in the dressing room. It's me and Rachel and Mackie. We're just kind of chatting and bullshitting and talking Super Bowl and talking about my teeth, whatever it is. And the sound is on in the dressing room. And you know how when, like, you're just kind of half listening, you can hear something in the background, you're not really paying attention, and it's just on, we're bullshitting, and I just hear, someone's on stage, security, there's someone on stage, and it takes me a second to register that, like, you know, like, if there's music playing, and then all of a sudden it stops, you're like, what just happened? Something just happened.
Yeah.
Oh, the music stopped. It took me a moment to be like, register, like, that's not from the act. What the hell is he saying? And I just bursted out. I started sprinting, and Mackie and Rachel didn't notice it or hear it, but I just sprinted out there, and it's kind of a long hallway to get there.
Yeah.
And by the time I get out there, there's this drunk guy and the fucking security guys. Chris, this big giant security guy, you know Chris. And then the other guy, some local guy, they're like these monsters. They're just dragging this guy out. This guy just walked on stage, and the lady, security lady, it's a stage that has steps up to the stage, which is never good.
You never want
steps onto the stage.
It's welcoming.
She's sitting there. Her job is to watch the stairs. She's sitting there with her arms folded and her legs crossed, just looking down, zoning out. This drunk fucking idiot walks right over her legs, up the stairs, and just stands on stage. So all of a sudden, Louis got some shadowy figure.
Oh, my Lord.
Just standing on stage with him. And he was like, blah, blah. And Louis freaks out. He's like, there's someone on stage. Security, security, someone's on stage.
Is he touching him? Is he coming closer? What's he doing?
No, he's just standing there very ominously on the stage.
Whoa.
Like, probably 15 feet away, just like,
Oh, my God.
And so Louis kind of walks off stage and kind of hides in the side curtains.
Yeah.
Security guys come and grab him, and the guy just, like, drops to his knees, like, dead weight.
Oh, my Lord.
And they're dragging him out, like, by the arms, like, dragging his feet. That's when I get there. And I wish I had been there earlier. It would have been fun to just blindside somebody.
Cold cock
him. Yeah, it would have been interesting to hit him with my frozen cock.
Especially when it's warranted.
Of course.
You know, you really can't. You hit him with a garbage can like a pro wrestler.
Yeah, it would be fun. But or an ice cream jug.
Or a chair, a folding chair.
Yes. It's funny they keep storing those under the ring.
That's true.
But anyway, so they drag him out, and it's crazy because the guy, he starts laying down like dead fishing. He's like, oh, man. And they're trying to like carry him by his legs and shit. It was fucking like casino shit.
I think I know this guy.
And they kick the door open and like throw him outside like fucking Jazzy Jeff. Mm-hmm. And he's pretending to be, maybe he's real. He's like, I saw a light, man. I didn't know. Like, but I'm like, I think he's just a drunk asshole.
Yeah.
Who's trying to act like he's fucking ill or like tripping or something. And Louis was pretty fucking, you know, jarred.
Yeah.
But he's a real pro. He stuck it out. And like you could tell, he was shaking and rattled and rolled. But he kept going. He got right through the show. And he came off stage and was like, that was fucking crazy. And then Beth, the tour manager, the security, they were worried they were going to get like chewed out.
Yeah.
But I was like, don't worry. I'll take the heat. I got him. I know what I'm doing here.
What happened to this dame on the steps here? She should be fired.
She should be fired, but everything's union. I think it's like unionized. Nah. But like, they should just go, you're fired.
Yes.
Like, you can't work here.
You had one job.
Like, how do you let a person walk on stage? But so they put it to like the back or whatever, but they were pissed. Obviously, Beth and Chris, the security guy, and Louis. But it was good because I walked up to Louis. I was like, great job, man. You're all right. I've had that happen, blah, blah, blah. And so he wasn't too mad at anybody.
Yeah.
He was just like, that was crazy. And then we were in the car together, and we listened back as he recorded it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a little worried that he made like a, but we listened back. It was fine. So he's like, I feel better about that.
That's funny that's the word. That's such a guy thing.
Yeah, because it's like you're not expected to be some like machismo guy. It's scary. All of a sudden someone's on stage, and you are in fucking danger.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, how was the crowd laugh-wise? Because they're not always great down there in the big N.O.
No, it was not the best show. They were okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
It was definitely not one of the hotter. It was no Seattle or Toronto or DC. They were good. They were whatever.
That sounds about right. Yeah. It just sucks that, you know, I'm from there and it's just not a comedy town.
Yeah, it's a fucking jazz town, you know?
It's a jazz town, it's a drinking town, it's a football town, and they just don't give a shit. They've had comedy clubs open and close, and, you know, people are always like, you got to do your special in New Orleans, and I'm like, fuck that. I'm doing it in New York.
I would never do anything in my hometown either, because you got the family and the friends, and you're worried about them, and where's your aunt sitting, and where's your grandma buried? It's just too much. It's
too much. Who's coming? And the texting, where do we park?
Yeah, exactly. What time do you go on?
Yeah, oh my God, what time do you go on?
Yeah, I did my half hour in Boston, and I loved it. It was a great experience, but I would never shoot or record anything in Boston again.
Yeah.
Plus the after part, where your family's just like this, hey, yeah. And I'm like, that was the biggest night of my life. Anything? They're
right,
like, it was good,
right.
It was fun. We'll see you later. And you're like, God, jeez, you're never going to be satisfied.
Never! But then if they're too clingy, then it's annoying too. It's a whole thing. I need strangers.
Stranger than fiction. Anyways, what do you got over there? What's shaking?
Well,
we might just get a philosophical going.
I got to tell you, this isn't really a big one, but you know, I've been struggling with this couch I bought.
Oh, the couch!
Yes. Well, I bought a couch, and as I said, it couldn't fit through the door.
No door.
So, but I love this fucking couch. I'm a real particular cunt when it comes to buying things. So I really want it with clothes and with shoes and with couches and with apartment. It's got to be just right. And all my web guy hates me. All my designer friends hate me because I'm like, I need a new album cover. That sucks. You suck. You're fired. Blow me. So I got this couch, but I don't want to give up on it. So I found the couch doctor.
Oh, you teased this.
Yes.
The couch doc. What happened with the couch doc?
Great guy.
Side in half?
Well, his name is Cesar, and we talked on the phone for about an hour and a half. He's got two kids, and he's, you know, Pisces. But he's like, yeah, send me the couch coordinates, or not coordinates, measurements.
Measurements sounds
better. And I'll tell you what you'll owe me. And I was like, all right. So I sent him all the shit. He goes, beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 beep. $500. I'm like, the couch costs $800. I don't want to spend $5 on getting it in.
That's like 60%.
Yeah, so I've been chatting with people, and they're like, some people are like, just pay, you're going to have the couch forever. And some people are like, fuck that. So I don't know what the hell to do. So I just hung up on him and just been avoiding his calls and his emails. And I called the couch lady again, and she goes, well, what if we get your neighbor to open his door? Because we have doors across the hall, like a three-foot hall. And he's like, maybe your neighbor opens his door, we can juke it and tweak it and twook it and
hook
get it in there. Hook it, twerk it. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. So she's like, all right, we'll send the couch again on Monday. So I was like, great. She's like, just make sure your neighbor's home. I was like, you got it. I forgot to make sure the neighbor's home.
Oh.
So Monday rolls around. But, I mean, he works from home. I figured, hey, my odds are pretty good. So Monday rolls around, and I knock on his door. Nothing. He's not home. And I go,
boy.
Oh, fuck.
He's working.
Well, he works from home.
He's out.
But when I first moved there, he was out smoking every 10 minutes. I was like, this guy's annoying. But now I wish he was there. I wish he was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the hell to do. So then I get a call from this woman. And I got to tell you, me and this woman, Kathy, we've started like a whole relationship. She's usually got these customer service twats. This gal's great. She's like, I hate to tell you this. I'm sorry. How'd it go? Is everything okay? She keeps checking in. It's like a real dialogue. There's no boop, 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 press 1 if you're unsatisfied. Press 2 if you're coming out of the closet. Whatever the hell.
Kathys are generally nice people.
Yeah, and they're good on the phone. So Kathy calls me, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, damn, the neighbor's not home. The guy's going to come out here for nothing. They're going to yell at me. And she calls me. She goes, yeah, I hate to tell you this, but they got the wrong sofa. I just called them. They got the wrong one, so they're going to have to do it tomorrow. I was like, oh, thank God. So tomorrow, that's today.
Uh-huh.
So today rolls around. I wake up early. And I check the neighbor. Neighbor's not home. I go, fuck.
So he might be dead.
I know. I email Kathy. And I go, hey, the neighbor's not home. He had to run out for a medical emergency. I can't believe it. He was here. I checked in. Oh, my God. She goes, oh, fuck. So she calls them. As she's calling them, the neighbor walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, ha-ha, he's back. So I call Kathy. I go, hey, you whore, he's back. And she goes, ah, shit, I just sent the guys away.
Oh, so, my God.
Now they're coming tomorrow.
This couch is not to be, perhaps.
I think so, or not.
Whether 'tis nobler in thy mind to suffer.
To each his own, to hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Major League Baseball. Either way, it's not looking good. So I might have just buy a smaller couch or just pony up the dough for the couch doc.
But, I want to know what this couch doc does. I want to pay the money just so we can find out what this doctor does.
I know. Is he wearing a lab coat? Did he go to couch med school? What's the word here?
Does he saw it in half? I mean, how does he do it?
No, I asked him, actually. He said, it's a leather couch, right? He's like the wolf, you know? And I was like, how do you want to do this? He goes, well, it's a leather couch. We're going to flip it over, take all the staples out, take the leather hide off like a fucking antelope.
Raw hide?
Cantaloupe. Antelope?
Antelope hide.
Antelope, yeah.
Is raw in reference to the animal?
Yeah. Raw hide's a hide before it's been beaten.
What?
You know how they got to beat it out.
They beat a dead horse? Is that where that's from?
No, that's different.
But a raw is not an animal. It's not an animal called a raw.
No. But.
But you said antelope instead of raw. Can't you have a raw antelope?
A raw hide's a hide that has been treated.
What the hell does that mean?
You know, you can't just take a fucking bear's pelt and throw it on the floor. You got to cover it up and put some gelatinous goo on it.
So you raw it?
Raw is right off the animal.
Oh!
Yes.
So what's a regular hide? A cooked hide?
That's a cooked hide. Also, there's raw talent.
Oh, I got that.
What about cooked?
I think there's cooked talent. Some of the talent that's cooked.
What is that? Like cooking? Chef?
I don't know.
No. Maybe cook talent is a talent that's been like went to school for it.
Here's one thing that I know for sure. We can't do back-to-back episodes anymore.
I think this is quality.
It's quality, but I'm losing my mind over here. I got a heart on, my feet are bleeding, my eyes hurt.
Well, we got to put a raw hide on this guy.
And Shelby, we got to work on your poker face. This guy's rolling his eyes. He's smashing his head on the table.
No, he wants to kill himself.
It's brutal. Every time I look over there, he's clawing his eyes out and whacking his head.
Wait a minute. What about the hide of a dog? Is that a raw dog?
A dog hide.
Yes.
Rolling. I don't know what anything is.
What about Dr. Jekyll?
Oh, Mr. Hyde. That's
Thank
spelled
you.
Differently. That's
yeah,
H-Y-D-E,
that's a Y.
I think.
That's got to be about a drug addict or a booze bag, huh? Because the guy gets hammered, he changes.
Is that right? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Yeah, I mean, it's
But he's
not,
the same guy.
I think that's where he got the motivation.
Some of the stuff I never got into. I don't know what's what.
They're pretty good little stories because they came out back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
And they're still relatable. That's pretty good test of time.
I'm reading a book right now called Black Boy that Louis got for me by this guy, Richard Wright. You ever hear of it?
Yeah, I've heard of Wright.
He wrote it in like 1940. It's about him growing up in the South as a black kid. And it's the worst thing I've ever read. I mean, it's beautifully written. It's a good book, but what a nightmare.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He burns his house down and his parents make him like... He kills a cat, and his parents make him bury the cat, and he's, like, dead. He's terrified. It's pitch black outside because there's no electricity. He's burying his dead cat. He's, like, 9 years old. It's horrifying.
Jesus, boy. People were tough back then.
He's supposed to learn to read, and, like, what do you want to learn to read for, boy? It's, like, pretty, it really puts you in that world of being black in the South in the 30s.
But is there, is it all burying cats, or is there some racial tension?
Oh, it's racial tension. I mean, he's still a boy in the book, so...
Yeah.
But that's what all... It's all like, you don't need to lead or to read. Get out of here. You're trying to... He's just trying to get to, like, school and learn how to read and write, this kid.
What is the reading schedule with you? How do you get the reading in?
I read on the train. I read at night before I go to bed. I'll come home. I try to skip the TV. I mean, I don't read as much as a lot of people. Like,
I know.
Colin Quinn, that's all he does is read. But I read on the airplane. Traveling, I'm definitely reading more.
Oh, airplane.
Flights. I've spent a lot of time on flights and trains and subway. And then at home, I'll sometimes put on a little jazz and I'll sit by the fireside. I made up the part about the fireside and then just do a little reading.
Well, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, it's good for it. It slows you down a little bit. My mind's always going a million miles. So I try to read a little Tara Brach. A little Buddhism, and I try to get a little novel in, and I try to be a well-rounded guy with the black novels and the jazz music and get the culture.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
But I don't watch any television. I go to the movies a lot. I watch a lot of movies, but I don't watch any TV. I watch a lot of sports.
There you go. That's TV.
So there's a lot of reading. But TV as in like...
dumb sitcoms.
The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and The Wire. I never saw any of that silly stuff.
Hey, it's good art.
I know it is, but I like the
I'm
movies.
I'm just saying, it's not, you know, it's quality shit.
I like the films.
All right.
I'm a film fag.
Oh, speaking of
film. I should have said fag, sorry.
Oh, boy.
I apologize. That's terrible.
It's a union. You're in the fag union.
No, that's SAG.
Well, speaking of SAG, I got a real bag hanging here. But no, I got the screeners for all the...
I never get screeners.
I just got them. I've been in SAG for 38 years. I just got the screeners.
I don't know what's going on with this union of mine. I mean, I'm sticking to the union. I'm a union guy. I pay my taxes. I bleed American blue and red. But I don't know.
White in there.
I don't know how to get a screener, for God's sake.
I got all the best picture if you want them. They're DVDs.
I've seen most of them, I think.
You got a Moonlight?
Moonlight I haven't seen. I know I'm a terrible guy, but I'm reading Black Boy.
You're reading Black Boy.
Fuck Moonlight. I got Black Boy over here.
Yeah, but he ain't gay.
He might be. I haven't gotten that far into it.
Oh, that's true. He hasn't hit his pube yet. Well, I got Manchester. I got Moonlight. I got Arrival.
Manchester I loved. Arrival I hated.
You hated it?
I just didn't get it. I don't like aliens. I don't get it with the aliens. It's enough already with the aliens.
I don't like aliens either, but I thought this was pretty unique.
Yeah.
A little different. You know, I hate fucking, I don't know, Mars shit, but Starship Troopers, I hate anything like that. But,
yeah, it's silly.
But I thought this was different. Well, Joe's slipped right into a phone call here. And,
no, I'm looking at my tweets here to see how much criticism we're getting, and people really love it.
All right.
That last ep, and, well, we got to start rapping anyways here, for God's sakes. My tooth hurts so fucking much. I can't even express how much pain
you
gotta
get
it.
Some Oxycontin.
I need the heavy stuff. I need a fucking shot of cum or something.
I can help you with that.
Yeah, you can.
Remember April 4th, people. You can see these gems live in concert. Just throw on a nice suit. We're gonna really shoot it for TV and hopefully sell this puppy. And you can say you were here first.
Yeah, dress nice. Bring a dame. We want some sex appeal. That's why you gotta sell it. Sex appeal.
Yeah, have some wine and some drinks and some laughs.
It's April 4th. It's Fat Black Pussy Cat, and get the tickets early because it's gonna sell out for sure. It's a small venue.
Yeah.
And same dates as last time. Zanies is coming up Chicago, March 8th through the 12th. Tampa Side Splitters, March 16th through the 19th. Montreal Comedy Nest, 23rd for the 25th through me. Check out my new website, Comedian Joe List. Let's get some traffic. Sign up for that email list. I promise I won't bother you too much, probably ever, because I don't know what I'm doing. But
yeah, that's a lot of work, those email lists.
Yeah, ComedianJoeList.com. Check it out. And it's a great site, and I got a great guy did it for me. Cairns Digital, Cairn Digital. If you need a website, this guy is the best. He's right there for me whenever I need him. So do that. Laughable app. Check out the Laughable app. That stuff is great stuff. If you're a comedy podcast fan, you got to be on that Laughable app. It's killer.
Yeah. Oh, you know what else they should check out is Laughly.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard of Laughly?
Are they not rivals?
No, I actually checked in on that.
Oh, good.
One is streaming comedy and one is streaming podcasts.
Yeah, Laughly is killer then, because we get residuals on that. So
that's
check
right,
out Laughly.
Right.
If they're not rivals, then go update Laughly. Our good buddy of ours is, I think, running the show over there.
Yeah, Mark Seaman.
Yes, I just had a nice interview with him. Podcast is out there.
He had a great apartment.
Unbelievable.
That's my dream neighborhood. Apartment. Yes.
Dream apartment. So check out Laughly. Download it right now. If you're listening, go download Laughable and Laughly. And it's a good way to support comedy. And check out our Patreon page. We got bonus episodes over there. They're fun.
That episode was, Jesus, boy, I'd love to recreate that on the 4th if we could. So we got that. We got the Facebook page. Tweet at us. Yell at Chipotle. Blow me. Hit me up. I'm in Atlanta, Denver, Dayton, Houston. Oh, good God. Philly, thanks for having me, Philly. Houston, yeah. And with Schumer doing Foxwoods, I'm sure that's sold out. Oh, Atlanta, I said that. Des Moines, Vermont, Shaskeen Pub, come on out. Yeah, and Hartford Funny Bone. More dates to come, but that's it. Hit MarkNormanComedy.com. Thanks for listening. I love you all. Be nice to each other. And it's going to be a great year, folks.
Well, thanks for all those kind tweets. It was so nice. I got so many nice tweets last week. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. We love you all. See you in hell. Bye.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Aha! Uh-huh.